Well, hello everybody and welcome to Basic Gospel. With Richard Pfeiffer, I'm Bob Davis. And if it's the top of the hour, 3 p.m. Central Time, you're hearing Basic Gospel Live, and we'd like you to be a part of it. Now, unlike our recent Friday editions on Basic Gospel, today, this Friday, the phone lines are open and we invite your calls. So if you have a question or if there's something you'd like to talk about, a particular topic of interest, give us a call right now. 844-322-2742. That number's good in the U.S. and in Canada. 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody. And friends, Richard and I are joined in the studio today by someone very special to all of us, particularly to Richard's family. That would be Richard's son-in-law, Jason Hillier. Jason, welcome to Basic Gospel.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. I'm excited for today's show.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah. Well, Jason's been my son-in-law now for 15 years?
I think that's about 17 years.
17
I better
years.
Get that right, though.
Yeah. Is he your favorite, though, is what I'm wondering.
Is my favorite son-in-law, yes. Because he's my only son-in-law. Yeah. But yeah, Jason is a campus pastor at Valley Creek Church in Flower Mound, Texas, and is doing an incredible job there. It's just so much fun to watch him do what he does.
I've been hearing good reports all along. That's great.
Yes. And so, yeah, so Bob's still in Florida with Blue Skies Ministries, and we had an empty chair, so we invited Jason, and thanks for being here, man.
I'm glad to be here.
So, on Wednesday, I talked a little bit about this idea of foundation. Remember, all this month, we've been talking about foundations and how to take a stand and why that is so important. And I referred on Wednesday to a story in Ezra chapter 3 regarding when the people had come back from Babylon. And they decided to start the sacrificial system. After all, they were under the Mosaic Covenant. That made perfect sense, except they had no temple. And they were just doing it out there on the ground, and they didn't have a foundation for the temple. And so it's meaningful because it always points forward to the coming Messiah, but it was completely messed up because there was no temple. There was no holy place, no most holy place. Worst of all, there was no Shekinah glory. God's presence was not there in that building. They eventually built the temple and had the most holy place. God's presence still wasn't there. And it didn't come about that God's presence rejoined the temple until he defined us as the temple, and the Holy Spirit took up residence in us. Yeah. And so today I want to look at a couple of things real quickly. We could go for hours on this, but I'll keep it short. There's a passage in 1 Corinthians 3 and then another passage in Hebrews 12. In the 1 Corinthians 3 passage, Paul talks about, look, I started building as a master builder, but I built on a foundation. Yeah. He just picks up right where Ezra left off. there is a foundation now, and that foundation is Jesus Christ. And if we're not going to build on that foundation, we're not building at all. We're just making a mess. And then he says this interesting thing. Do you not know, and it's immediately in the context of that passage, do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him, for God's temple is holy, and you are that temple. That is a vitally important statement. I mean, it should scare us a little bit, but it should thrill us as well. The fact that God lives in us by the Holy Spirit makes us his temple, and together we form this thing called the church, the called out ones, and we get to do things in the world as God works through us, through this indwelling Spirit, that are mind-boggling.
That's so good. Isn't that a great way to just be encouraged and be confident about salvation, knowing that God is not going to destroy himself?
Correct.
God dwells in you, so why would he destroy himself? Well, he wouldn't do that. Mm-hmm. He's going to protect you. He's going to protect himself. He dwells in you. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And so, and then you move along over to Hebrews 12, and the writer there, speaking mostly to a Jewish group, says, look, we haven't been invited to Mount Sinai. You all remember Mount Sinai. There was a fence around Mount Sinai. If anybody touched the mountain, they died. And if you'll recall the story, all of you pulled back from the fence. No. Let God talk to Moses. Yeah. Don't let him talk to us.
Yeah.
Well, now we're not invited to that mountain. We're invited to Zion itself, and this mountain cannot be shaken.
That's good.
So what does this mean in the context of foundations? Well, if we're the temple of God, because the Spirit lives in us, and we've been invited to Zion itself, the heavenly places, remember, we're seated with Christ in the heavenly places, then that can't be shaken. Mm-hmm. We can't be shaken. Mm-hmm. That's why Paul says in Ephesians 6, which we looked at earlier this month, having done all, stand.
Yeah.
That's all he says, yeah. Stand. He doesn't say charge forward. He doesn't say go to battle. He says stand. That's foundations. That's what we've been talking about all month.
Yeah.
In Christ, we have an immovable foundation. That foundation is under us. It's also in us. In Christ, we are the temple of the living God, the church, the body of Christ in this world. And we're not just messing around here in this world. This is a heavenly goal that we're attaining.
Absolutely.
And it's all in Him.
Yes, indeed. Well, it's the kind of good news you hear every day at Basic Gospel. I'm Bob Davis with Richard Piper and our special guest Jason Hillier today. Again, the phone lines are open, and if it's still the first half of the 3 o'clock p.m. Central Time hour, you're hearing the live broadcast, and we have the phone lines open. We want to hear from you at 844-322-2742. Good in the U.S. and in Canada, 844-322-2742. Now, in just a minute or two, we're going to go talk to Alan in East Point, Michigan, but before we do that, we need to talk here for just a moment, because we've only got about 2 days actually away from the end of the month, and we still have this large financial shortfall, friends. The dollars needed to operate the ministry and pay for the airtime to keep Basic Gospel on the air and moving as a ministry. Your gifts to this point have cut far, far into the $50,000 that we needed that we first talked with you about, and we sincerely appreciate your love of the message of God's love and grace and life in the Lord Jesus Christ. But we've still got a way to go, friends, and Richard will fill us in on just how far we have to go here in a short while, but day after tomorrow is the day, and we need your help today. So please go online, if you will, to basicgospel.net, or in Canada, basicgospel.net/Canada, and make your gift to keep this good news coming. Basicgospel.net or basicgospel.net in Canada. All right, as said, Richard has a fill-in.
Yes. We'll go to Alan in a minute.
Yeah.
I got an email earlier this week, actually on Wednesday, and it's one of those heartfelt things that I think we just need to deal with. A guy named Sean said recently a young man, I won't give his name, from Carmel, California, took his own life at age 21 because of depression. He hid his pain in silence. His dad, I won't give his name, posted on Facebook as they're working to help others who are in the same situation. Suicide is such a problem here in the U.S. It's epidemic proportions.
Yeah.
How do you minister to survivors, the family members, the friends, after a suicide? How do we identify people, and what is the answer to help them avoid suicide? Stop thinking about that as an ultimate thing. How do we respond to suicide?
Yeah, that's heavy, isn't it? I was thinking about, you hear so many examples, even pastors,
yes,
that come to the end of themselves, and they feel like they just have nothing to live for. And it's heartbreaking every time, and it's heartbreaking for the families that are left over. Even times we have to counsel, pastorally to people that are missing family members, and that's tough, man. That is a hard question. I think one of the main things that I've seen happen in the church is that I think a lot of times the church has not recognized that depression is a real thing, and it's a real physiological thing. So it's got a physiological and spiritual component, which are real, and you don't want to miss that. You don't want to downplay that. And you want to be honest about, hey, sometimes there's chemicals that imbalances, just like any of us could get sick or something could happen. That is real.
Yeah.
And the other thing that's real, though, is that Jesus came to fully heal and restore and save us. And so he wants to heal all parts of our heart and our life, including our broken thinking and parts of our physiology that may be out of whack. And so I really encourage any families that are struggling with that to always look towards professional counseling if they know that somebody is really struggling, and absolutely look towards being surrounded with a community of believers that can lift you up, raise you up when you're feeling low and down, for really any area, whether you've lost somebody or you're having somebody who's struggling with whether or not they want to end their life.
Yeah. One of the things I believe, unfortunately, the church has failed at relative to this issue is somehow suicide has become the unpardonable sin.
Yeah, it's wild.
Because, after all, if you're dead, you can't ask for forgiveness.
Mm.
Well, that's true, but it's irrelevant.
That's right.
What did Jesus do? Did he die for all sin? Absolutely for all sin. Did he die for suicide? Yes, yes, he died for suicide. And if a person is a child of God and they've gotten themselves into this hole, yeah, and they can't see a way out and they end up committing suicide, they're still a child of God.
Yeah, that's right.
They're still a child of God. It's a tragic, in some way selfish thing to do, but it is not the unpardonable sin. They still are forgiven people. They still were indwelt by the Holy Spirit, and they still, when they were absent from the body, are present with the Lord.
A good way to think about that is, if something could be an unpardonable sin, then what good thing can you do to get into heaven? Mm-hmm. If there's something bad that you can do to get out of heaven, what good thing can you do to get in heaven? The answer is you can't.
Yeah, you can't.
You can't. You
there's
have, it's Jesus or no Jesus, right? Mm-hmm. So that's always a broken way of thinking. I know
So for those of you who might be struggling with depression, feel free to call us, get professional help, talk to your own pastor, but please know that Jesus is sufficient. The grace of God is sufficient for you, regardless of what you're going through. Mm-hmm. Don't let this eat you alive. Talk about it. You would be surprised how many people have absolutely gone through the same thing you're having. The number of people I've talked to on the phone here, and the first thing when I hear about depression, the first thing I say is, you're not unusual.
That's right.
And and what I get on the other end of the phone is, I'm not.
That's right.
You know, you begin to feel like you're the only one, but you're not.
And you're not broken beyond repair.
Correct. Absolutely not.
Yeah. So, well, Richard and Jason, thank you for addressing this very, very vital issue. We appreciate it. It is Basic Gospel, everybody, and we have a couple of calls on the line. Let's go to East Point, Michigan, and speak with Alan. Alan, welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air. Hello, Alan. You're on the air.
I have one question about the Kavanaugh thing. She said that she was in a bathing suit. Why was no other people at the party in bathing suits?
Well, here's what I'm going to tell you. We're not going to get into that. I understand the charge. It's not a charge. It's an allegation. Mm-hmm. I understand the seriousness of it. I understand that she believes she went through something. I believe she did go through something. I understand that Judge Kavanaugh absolutely denies being involved. That's all we know for certain. Mm-hmm. Everything else is just smoke and mirrors right now. It's name calling and all the rest of it. What we've been watching this week is the reason why we beg people, do not put your faith in your government.
Absolutely.
Respect your government. God has appointed the government. But don't put your faith in it, because if you do, you will be sorely disappointed many, many times, regardless of your political leanings. It doesn't matter what party you prefer. Government is not the answer. Jesus is.
Mm-hmm. To what you said earlier, putting faith in politics is a shaky foundation.
Yes.
So if you want a foundation that's stable, it's always in Jesus. We should absolutely expect that a system of this world looks and acts like a system of this world.
Yes.
We should never be surprised by that. Yeah. Jesus is the firm foundation. He transcends all of that.
Yes. And I also know that God is sovereign over this situation.
That's right.
So whatever happens, God's already ready for it. He's already got an answer for it. Well, whether I agree with what happens or not, God is sufficient, and I've got to live there. Otherwise, I get depressed, right? This is the kind of thing that drives people into depression, because we've got these misplaced dependencies and unrealistic expectations about how life should go. And I mean, Jesus kind of promised us, in this world, you're going to have trouble.
Mm-hmm.
But fear not. I've overcome the world.
Yeah.
So
good.
Thanks for your call. I understand the concern about that. I understand the questions. But we're here to talk about Jesus and not the political situation.
One more encouragement I'd want to give to all the listeners is, if you find yourself on any given day hearing about news or listening to the news of the day, and it starts to create in you a guttural reaction, that is, it starts to overtake your emotions or your thought process, can I just encourage you know something's wrong. if you ever, if you have this like guttural reaction, like, oh man, it ruined my day, I became angry, I just couldn't get over it, something's not quite right, because that means it has a greater control in your life as a follower of Christ than really what anything should. Jesus has control of your life. He's the one that you can lean into. He's the one that should have the very best of you and the control over your emotions. So I encourage everybody, as you get in and you feel like, oh, I hear the news and I get so frustrated, it just takes me over, you know something's wrong, because Jesus is the one who's well in control of your life if you're a follower.
Yeah, thank you, Jason. Yeah. Well, it is Basic Gospel, and Richard, we're going to go to, in just a moment, go to go talk to Joshua listening in Willows, California, but I know you have some updated information you'd like to give in regard to the need that we have.
Yes, based on some preliminary addition, and it's not like, you know, counting crowds. There's 40 million people standing out there. We are very close to $30,000 for this week.
Great.
And that is amazing, and we are so thankful for that. But as we stated at the beginning of the week, we need $50,000 by the end of this month to make sure that we're keeping up with legitimate bills.
Yeah.
Right? Radio costs money. We've explained this before, but it bears explaining again. In Christian radio, in the vast majority of cases, you pay for the privilege of being on the air. In secular radio, they pay you for the privilege of being on the air, in commercial radio. And so we have to pay for every minute of airtime that we're on, and those are businesses, and they have expenses, and it costs money to maintain the equipment and all the rest of it, so we pay our fair share. And we've gotten behind because in the summer, the main three summer months,
that's what happens.
We were in the normal doldrums, and like we put in an upcoming letter, it was doldrummier than usual. we're completely at ease with this. We've been in far worse positions before. God always takes care of us.
Through his people.
But he takes care of us through you, because he moves in your heart to give generously. There is never any compulsion here. There is never any guilt. We state the need. We thank you for helping us meet the need, and we will go on. But we've got two more days.
Yep, 2 days.
And we'll let you know on probably Monday or Tuesday next week when all the stuff comes in, how we did.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, again, you can go to basicgospel.net and find all the ways that you can give, and there are several of them. We encourage you to go there, basicgospel.net, or in Canada, basicgospel.net/Canada.
I had another question from the same person who asked about suicide, and it's an interesting question because it's so short and pithy. Do Catholics go to heaven? And the answer is, only if Baptists and Methodists and everybody else can go to heaven. God didn't come, or Jesus didn't come. God didn't send Jesus to save Catholics or Protestants or Methodists or Buddhists or anybody else.
Right.
He came to save people. Mm-hmm. And whatever your background, whatever denomination you prefer, praise God for it. But the point is to focus on Jesus. Mm-hmm. Fix your eyes on Jesus. He's the foundation. He's the author and perfecter of faith. And when that word perfect means to reach a goal. He's set a goal. He's taking you to that goal. He's going to deliver you to that goal. He's the one who does it. So let's focus on him, because, you know, the denominational issues can take care of themselves.
Absolutely. Okay, quickly to Willows, California. We're going to talk to Joshua. Hello, my friend. You're on the air.
Hello, Bob. This question's for either Richard or Jason. I just haven't got the Holy Ghost grasp of these verses. There's one in Matthew 28 and one in Luke 37. It's talking about end times things. Oh, by the way, Jason, I'd love to hear you be on here again. Great answers, and appreciate you being here today.
Thanks for saying
but
that.
But anyways, so it says, I've got the NLT and the KJV because King James doesn't, it says eagles. So verse 28 of Matthew 24, you know, the eschatology, it says, just as the gathering of the vultures shows there's a carcass nearby, so these signs indicate that the end is near. And then in Luke 17 in the King James Version, it says, wherever the body is, thither the eagles will be gathered together. Now, I just a simple answer or maybe another verse, but that is just, I'm studying the end times, you know, of course I'm studying every time, but I haven't quite grasped that one. The Holy Ghost just has not revealed to where I understand it. So I'll leave it at that, and I'll go ahead and hang up and take your answers.
Thanks, Joshua.
Guys, for the time, and God bless you all.
Great to hear from you.
Thank you. Well, this is a challenging verse just by itself. The ESV, English Standard Version, says, where the corpse is, there the vultures will gather. And that's a truism, right? If you've ever been driving across the country and you see vultures flying, circling, blackbirds do the same thing,
mm-hmm.
You know that down below someplace is a dead animal.
Right.
Okay? So it's a truism. But what Jesus has been talking about, the coming, or his second coming,
yeah.
and he says, look, as far as the lightning comes from the east and shines as far as the west, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. The truism here doesn't refer to, I don't believe, it refers to, well, look for the dead people. It says the sign of Jesus' coming will be so obvious that it would be as obvious as watching the vulture circling and knowing for certain that there's a dead animal there. He's saying, when I come back, it will be unmistakable. Mm-hmm. Because he's saying, look, somebody says, well, he's out here. Well, don't go out there. Or he's in this special room. No, don't go there. When I come, you'll know it.
Yeah, that's good. I agree with that, Joshua. I think what you're seeing there in the passage is he's giving them a warning. Don't be led astray by here, there, and everywhere. Just look, fix your eyes on Jesus, look to him, look to what he's already done and what he's currently doing in your life. I think a lot of times I'd encourage everybody too, as you think about and study the end times, you're right, absolutely study this time. Study what he's doing in your life right now, what he wants to do in your heart. So I think that's great. Start with what he's doing currently in your life, how he's moving in and through and around you, and then begin to think about what that might mean for, you know, the end of times. The good news is he's got it well under control. We don't have to worry about that.
Yes.
He's got it fully in hand. So
yeah, that's what I love about hope. I mean, we have this hope. Well, what is this hope? Our hope is a guaranteed future. Mm-hmm. Absolutely a guaranteed future. And so Jesus asks us to walk by faith, not in the future, but in the present. Why can we walk by faith now in this moment? Because the future is guaranteed.
That's right.
Okay, so there's nothing I'm struggling with relative to the future. I know Jesus is there. I know he's the ultimately victorious king. I know if I'm dead when he shows up, he'll raise me from the dead. If I'm alive when he shows up, he's going to regenerate me anyway. This is the kind of thing that we rest our faith on.
And no man knows the day, not even the Son. And guess who's not worried about it? Jesus the Son.
Jesus isn't worried about it. He's the one who's coming
you
back.
You got it. He's so, in good shape.
Exactly right. Yeah.
So thanks for being on with me
today,
guys. Jason.
It's really
absolutely
fun.
Great to have you, brother.
It's really fun.
Good to hear from Alan and from Joshua and all of those of you who pose a question to us, and we'll tell you more about that in just a moment. But friends, as we've said, this ministry, Basic Gospel, has an immediate need, and we need your help big time by day after tomorrow, September 30th, to pay for the airtime and the other expenses that are part of the normal course of operation. This New Covenant message has to remain on the air, just must, telling the story of God's love, grace, and life, and our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, you'll find all the ways to make your gift at basicgospel.net or basicgospel.net/Canada. The need is urgent, friends, and we can't do this alone. We need your help today. So again, please visit basicgospel.net or basicgospel.net/Canada and make your most generous gift to keep the good news coming. Remember, too, that if you have a question now or over the weekend, shoot an email to bob@basicgospel.net or call this same number, 844-322-2742. We'd love to hear from you. That number's available 24 hours a day around the clock, 844-322-2742. Well, now, thanks to Jason Hillier, get your name right eventually, Jason Hillier for being with us today, for Bob Christopher, for Richard Pfeiffer, and all the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis with your invitation to be here again on Monday for another live edition of Basic Gospel. Have a great weekend, everybody, and we'll see you then. Bye-bye.